Please the court, Richard Abbott, attorney for the Friends of Paladin and three condominium unit owners in the Paladin Club community. Mr. Jackson and Ms. Sims are here with us this morning. The issue before the court today is whether the Newcastle County Board of Adjustment had subject matter jurisdiction over an appeal of an administrative decision issued by the County Department of Land Use on a subdivision land development plan. There's a few important facts I just wanted to review briefly. The first is that the plan that was proposed called for the demolition or removal of 850 feet of a stone wall. The plan, as per the County Unified Development Code, or UDC, was sent to the Historic Review Board for review. Given the historic character of the area, it is the historic Sellers Estate. There's an existing carriage house and English gardens. Those were issues that were taken into account. Ultimately, there was a final decision issued by the Department of Land Use that indicated that the plan would need to be modified in order to preserve the wall, the stone wall. And that decision also said at the conclusion, and this is important, I believe, that the appeal, if any, should be taken to the Newcastle County Planning Board. Instead, the appeal was taken to the Board of Adjustment. The appeal, of course, itself said this is an appeal regarding that specific subdivision land development plan and application. It also appealed the decision, which was based on the subdivision plan review process.
Do you agree that as a matter of general expertise that it's the Board of Adjustment that has zoning matter expertise through the experience and the intent of the ordinance?
Yes, Your Honor, and in fact that's the jurisdiction with which they are vested by the General Assembly. So if it's a zoning matter, it goes to the Board of Adjustment. If it's a subdivision matter, it goes to the Planning Board. That's the breakdown. That's really the ultimate outcome of this case.
And you conceded that zoning matters can arise in subdivision plans at oral argument before Superior Court, right?
That's true. However, I will also note that there's an indication in Title IX, Chapter 30, which is the subdivision code for Newcastle County, that any decisions that are made during the course of the subdivision review process should go, or subdivision decisions, because they are part of the subdivision review. And in fact, under the predecessor to the county's Unified Development Code, there was a specific provision that said any person aggrieved with a subdivision review determination must go to the Planning Board.
So you advocate a bright line rule. If it's a subdivision that plan that's been filed, it goes to the Planning Board no matter what.
I suppose there could be some situations where a zoning issue arises but based on the way that Title 30 is written, Chapter 30 in Title 9, it appears the General Assembly intended that when you're within the scope of the subdivision review process, that becomes a subdivision determination. It may have zoning-related issues to it, but I think the more important thing in this situation is what happened under the facts and circumstances of this case. And under this case, if you look at Mr. Baker's decision, it had no effect on the uses of land or the uses or sizes of land or structures. Zoning, as the General Assembly has set it forth in Title IX, Chapter 26 of the Delaware Code, it involves those types of determinations. So the question is, did that affect this plan? This plan proposes 38 townhouses.
Well, two questions, Mr. Abbott.
Yes, Your Honor.
The question here was whether this wall could be torn down or whether it had to remain in place and indeed be repaired after a part of it was demolished. Doesn't that question, that subject matter, deal with the use of a structure?
No, because a wall is not a structure under the UDC, at least. And when I say structures, the uses are residential, commercial, office. The structure is the size of the structure, the setbacks, height of the structure.
The structure defined?
Under the state code, I don't believe it is. It just uses the terms buildings or structures. It also talks about regulating the uses of land. That's also consistent with Article 2, Section 25 of the Delaware Constitution, which grants the General Assembly authority to delegate it, the land use regulatory powers, to the counties.
Well, second question. If we had a situation in which there was a pure subdivision issue, that would not be problematic, and I assume you don't disagree with that. And similarly, if the issue was whether a particular use or proposed use did or didn't conform to existing zoning, that wouldn't be problematic either. But what we have here, and what at least we're told occurs from time to time in this process, is a zoning issue coming up in connection with the subdivision review. My question is, does the converse ever come up? That is, the subdivision issue coming up in the context of a zoning review?
I'm not sure, Your Honor. There's zoning certifications. There are requests for zoning interpretations. There are, I suppose, that there could be an interplay, and there could be situations where there's a mixed question, if that's what you're getting at.
That is what I'm getting at. And the next question is, since these issues do come up, yet we have split jurisdiction, on what doctrinal basis can this court determine and get guidance on the question of which body would be hearing, would be reviewing the zoning question, or whatever the oddball issue is that that deprives the matter of being purely zoning or purely subdivision?
Well, I think what, Your Honor, in answer to your question, I think what we would need to do is look at the substance of the decision and look at the authority under which the decision is made. In this instance, the substance of the decision was that there was a denial of approval or disapproval of the exploratory sketch plan that was being reviewed in the subdivision process. And the effect of that was to make it go back to scratch. The second thing is to look at where did Mr. Baker have the authority to render that decision. He doesn't have that authority in Article 15. It only talks about sending it to the Historic Review Board. His authority is found in Article 20 and Article 21 of the UDC. Article 20 talks about planning principles, layout and design of subdivision plans, respecting the character of the neighborhood, and indicates that he has express authority to require modifications to plans.
Maybe I didn't phrase the question precisely enough. Let me try it again. The three options, let's assume that we have a subdivision review issue, but with the zoning issue intermixed with it. One option is that the body that hears subdivision cases will adjudicate the zoning issue. The other option is that the zoning review body will decide the entire mix of issues. And the third is that the zoning issue goes up to the Board of Adjustment and everything else goes to the Planning Board.
And that happens, I'm sorry. Right. At times you need variances from both boards in the Newcastle County process.
My question is, what is, do we have any guidance as to what ought to happen? And if not, then on what basis do we formulate a rule of common law that gives guidance to the government and to the attorneys?
Well, what I've suggested is that the court look to the Delaware Code and what the General Assembly has said the distinction is between subdivision and zoning. And as I talked about zoning before, subdivision deals with land planning and design principles, the specific layout of the plan, the respect for the environmental, the historic, the other things that are existing in the area in which the development is proposed. That's what the General Assembly said subdivision review includes in Newcastle County. And so there may be situations where there, in this situation, the UDC says Article 15 is a zoning regulation. What I've suggested is that may be so as to form, but as to substance, the decision that was made affects the layout, the design. It's based on planning principles, and it's derived from the legal authority vested in the department under Articles 20 and 31 of the UDC, which the UDC defines as subdivision regulations. So while there's an argument that this was an Article 15 decision, Mr. Baker doesn't have any authority under Article 15 to make that decision. So we are removed from the sole thin thread that the appellees have argued means that this is a zoning decision. They've said, look at the UDC. It says Article 15 is zoning regulations. Ipso facto, it's a zoning decision. And what I've said is you can look at Article 15, but you won't find any authority in Mr. Baker to render the decision that he did.
But let me just make sure that we're on the same page. Is it your position that what has been labeled here as a zoning decision is, in fact, not a zoning decision? Or is your position that, yes, it may be a zoning decision, but as a legal matter, the entire mix of issues in this case must be decided by the Planning Board?
The former, Your Honor. It's a pure subdivision decision as a matter of substance. And we raised this issue to the Board of Adjustment. The Board of Adjustment did not choose to hear it, said go to the court, and that's what brings us here. So, you know, we don't really have any guidance from them as to what they believe the issue is. So we're really bringing it up for the first time in the court appeals. But our argument is that the only zoning connection that this decision has is with respect to the Article 15 involvement before the HRB, before the Historic Review Board, and that the UDC says that's a zoning regulation. But if you look at Article 15, it says that the subdivision plan gets sent to the Historic Review Board for their review. They review it under Article 15 principles that talk about preservation of historic resources, and then they make a recommendation, not a decision, a recommendation. Ultimately, it's up to the Department of Land Use to decide what the decision is. They rendered that decision. That decision's under Article 20, or pursuant to authority under Articles 20 and 31 of the UDC, which even the UDC agrees are subdivision regulations, and which, based on the dichotomy between subdivision and zoning that the General Assembly has set up statutorily, fits as well. So the other thing is that Mr. Baker, of course, we believe is entitled to some deference as the general manager of the department. He specifically said your appeal is to the Planning Board, and we believe that the court should look to that. It's not bound by that, but it's certainly persuasive evidence that that is the correct board to appeal to.
Well, if I understand your argument correctly, because the decision is made in the context of a subdivision, even if it did relate without controversy to a zoning matter, you're saying that because it's made under Article 20 and 31, it has to go to the Planning Board?
Yes, except the only caveat I give to that is that in addition, that's because Chapter 30 of Title 9 in the Delaware Code indicates, it specifically says, subdivision review shall include matters such as, and it specifically states in there, determination as to whether the proposed development, subdivision and development, comports with the zoning.
So just to flesh out a hypothetical, can you give me an example where a subdivision would not be allowed under the overall zoning code?
Well, if someone came in and proposed an office building on a residentially zoned parcel of land, that would involve a zoning determination that that was not a permissible use.
And are you saying that that would have to, that decision by the department would have to go to the Planning Board to review that?
No, I don't think it would. What I think Chapter 30, Title 9 indicates is that once the subdivision plan comes in, the issue of the size of the lots, the setbacks on the lots, and those sorts of issues becomes a plan issue, a subdivision review issue. The larger high-level decision of whether it's a permissible use as a matter of law under the zoning code is outside of the zoning. That you're just proposing a use. Doesn't matter what the specifics of the plan are. The bottom line is you're proposing a use which is at the highest levels impermissible, and that under the state code would be a zoning issue.
Earlier Justice Jacobs asked you if there was any doctrinal help we could get in analyzing this distinction between zoning and subdivision, whether the right process was followed under the law. Does Aterno versus Mitchell give us any help in that respect at all?
I think it does, Your Honor, and it was cited by the appellees, and I'm almost out of my rebuttal time, so I'll be quick. I think in that situation, it was a denial of a building permit, so it could have gone to the License Inspection and Review Board. But because it was a pure zoning decision that you couldn't use the property, again, the example I just gave Justice Ridgely, they said it's zoned manufacturing or industrial, I think. You can't build a commercial shopping center on an industrial zone parcel. That's a pure high-level zoning decision. That goes to the Board of Adjustment, and that's the type of doctrinal principle I think the court can rely on.
Okay. Thank you. You want to save the rest of your time?
Yes, I would. Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. I am William Manning, Buchanan, Ingersoll, and Rooney, and I represent Edgewood Village, LLC, one of the appellees. I'm also going to make argument on behalf of the Newcastle County Board of Adjustment, and I am joined at council table by Julie Sebring, the Assistant County Attorney. Your Honors, may it please the Court, the Newcastle County Board of Adjustment is a creature of state law. It was created pursuant to Section 1313 of Title IX many years ago, and it says that where an order made by an administrative officer in the enforcement of any zoning ordinance is challenged, that challenge shall be heard by the Board of Adjustment. And that's precisely what Mr. Baker did in his February 1805 letter. This has been characterized, in fact defined, in the appellant's briefs as a, quote, subdivision decision. But Mr. Baker, and I think it's important to note, Mr. Baker did not deny or approve a subdivision plan with that letter. Instead, he said, I think this has historical significance, and I am directing the staff to include that consideration in revising their comments to you, the applicant. This was a decision about whether this was historically significant, this wall that was proposed to be taken down was historically significant. Zoning decisions.
Didn't his action sort of directly indicate that a subdivision plan with involving the demolition of this wall is not going to be approved?
No. Didn't it neither approved nor disapproved the plan. That determination had implications for the plan, but we don't know what implications they would have been because the decision was reversed by the Board of Adjustment. So I can't tell Your Honor, and I don't think anybody here can tell Your Honor, that the plan would not ultimately have been approved. Might it have been changed? Yes, if that decision had been sustained. But we were not at the stage, the appellees were not at the stage where the plan was being denied or approved.
But the question is, at what stage were you for the purpose of a review of Mr. Baker's administrative decision? And isn't it correct that a part of the subdivision review includes an objective to protect against the destruction of historical sites? If he merely said, this needs to be reviewed by the staff to determine whether or not this wall or any other structure on this site needs to be protected to prevent the destruction of an historical site, why wouldn't that be part of the overall review of the subdivision plan?
Why does that
become an appeal of administrative decision?
Your Honor, I don't mind conceding, as I must, that this decision was made as part of a process that was triggered by the filing of an exploratory sketch, and the filing of an exploratory sketch is, I think, without any argument, the first step in a subdivision process. But zoning questions arise in the subdivision process all the time. Indeed, the first thing a planner would do when receiving a subdivision application, in other words, the exploratory sketch that is the first stage of a study, is check to see whether the property is properly zoned. And if not, plan rejected.
Yeah, subdivision, both sides seem to agree on that. But this is an administrative recommendation or comment that comes in full flow of a subdivision review.
Your Honor, I respectfully disagree with that. This is no different than a decision by a planner looking at a plan and saying, wait a minute, you can't do that because the zoning code doesn't permit it. But I have to say, and I will concede, that in telling you whether this was a zoning decision or a decision that has subdivision characteristics, I could probably argue both sides with equal conviction.
Well, just tell
and
me
I
one
think
thing,
we need a bright line test.
Just answer one thing.
Yes, sir.
Is it part of subdivision review to determine whether or not there is protection against the destruction of or encroachment upon historical sites or areas?
Yes.
And was Mr. Baker's decision directly connected to that review?
Yes. In the same way that in the subdivision process, it is required that the planners check to see whether a zoning is appropriate. In other words...
Well, okay, but this isn't, in effect, a decision by Mr. Baker saying, as we discussed earlier, that you have proposed residential construction in a parks area, or you've proposed commercial construction in an area zoned for residents. This is a concession that the subdivision is appropriate for this plan because it's the correct zoning district. Now the issue becomes how much regulation is there of the plan itself, and to what extent there's review of the plan to see that it meets subdivision regulations, isn't it?
No, I think Your Honor begs the question when he suggests that everything passed the initial determination of whether this was residential.
No, I'm not suggesting everything passed. There could be a zoning issue that comes up.
And indeed it did. And the determination...
But my question, again, is directed to this quote, which I understand comes from UDC 40.01.015, capital B, point 3, which God save us from regulation, but... It is to protect against the destruction of or encroachment upon historical sites or areas. Is that or is that not part of planned community character review during the course of the subdivision review?
I think that decision is a zoning decision.
All right. The
question whether this wall has historic significance is a zoning decision.
Well, maybe you can explain.
And that
why.
Decision will have implications in the subdivision plan, to be sure.
Why is it a zoning decision?
Because the county council says so. The county council, this entire debate was anticipated when the two codes were merged at the end of 1997. It was a simpler world when the Delaware General Assembly said you got to have a Board of Adjustment, and the Board of Adjustment is going to review the zoning decisions. At that time, you had a zoning code and a subdivision code, and practitioners and agencies knew one when they saw one. They knew what a zoning decision was. The world has become exceedingly more complex. There are decisions made within the subdivision process that are entirely zoning, and we have new issues arising. There wasn't historic preservation protections when the Delaware General Assembly created the Board of Adjustment. But when we do more in the regulation of land use, we are forced, because of that statute that says zoning questions have to go to the Board of Adjustment, we are forced to decide whether this new layer of regulation that we are imposing is a zoning process or subdivision. And the county council did exactly that.
Before you go on,
yes, sir.
I just want to hopefully try to channel your responses into the framework of the issues as we see them. Mr. Abbott tells us that we don't need to get into all of this complex discussion about zoning because this issue concerning the historic wall is not a zoning issue, period, end of argument. That's one question, as the Chief Justice asked, is if it is a zoning issue, why is it a zoning issue in a paragraph? Secondly, if it is a zoning issue, and I think everybody agrees, as a zoning issue, it is but one element of a complex of elements, the rest of which were subdivision issues, what is the proper procedure to be followed, and what is the authority for the roadmap that you're arguing?
first question Your Honor puts to me is it a zoning issue? And the answer is yes, it is. Yes, it is. I suggest in posing the question, though, that there's an assumption that one can determine because of traditional notions what is zoning and what is subdivision. We can't do that anymore. Our regulation of land use is too complex. For example, you heard Mr. Abbott argue earlier that subdivision involves traditionally dimensional things, and said, and I believe I'm quoting correctly, that, for example, the height and setbacks, heights of buildings and setbacks are subdivision matters. Heights of buildings and setbacks have been included in every zoning code that I've ever seen in this state. They are like subdivision matters, but they're included in zoning codes traditionally. The answer is you can't tell. And the question of what's zoning and what isn't zoning goes beyond whether it's residential, office, or commercial. And so what is one to do?
It's not like pornography.
It is very much like that. In the old days, I knew the zoning matter when I saw it, and now I can't tell anymore.
Right.
And because of that, we need a test. Now, one test is to say, if it comes up in a process that was triggered by actually, we don't even call it a subdivision application anymore in New Castle County. It's an application for major land development plan approval. The word subdivision is rarely used in the UDC. You'll find it, but the process here, the exploratory sketch, was part of an application which appears on a form SLD-1, and it was an application for major development plan approval.
Can we call it a subdivision just to keep it simple?
That search for simplicity has probably driven us to this issue, but yes, you may. And in fact, Mr. Abbott has defined it as a subdivision decision, which begs the whole question in this case. If we concede that the distinction between zoning matters and subdivision matters is no longer easily made, and yet we have this statute that tells us we're supposed to know because we have to know which body to appeal to, then we need a test. You could do a couple things. You could say if it comes up in a process that was triggered as part of a major development plan approval process, and we'll call that a subdivision application here today because I've been asked to do that. You could decide that any issue that comes up in that process is going to go to the planning board because it's a subdivision issue. I wonder what the Board of Adjustment is supposed to do, because zoning issues most frequently arise in this process that is triggered with the filing of an SLD-1 and an exploratory sketch. First thing that happens is the planner sees whether he or she thinks the property is zoned for this particular use. If the answer is no, decision. A pure zoning decision, even under all of the notions that I hear here today, that's a pure zoning decision, and yet under the appellant's test, that goes to the planning board. That's not what state law imagined. If I apply, sometimes it comes up in the context of a building permit application.
Well, I thought Mr. Abbott said that a pure high-level zoning decision would go to the Board of Adjustment if it's raised in a subdivision application.
Then his test is
what's the pure not, high-level zoning?
Not what process are we in, which is what I thought his test was, but ask me whether there's a high-level zoning decision being made here, and I'll give you the answer. Now, if my adversary disputes that answer, we have a jurisdictional fight on our hands. We have a 30-day period of limitation within which to resolve that jurisdictional issue. And if the aggrieved party guesses wrong, goes to the planning board or the Board of Adjustment only to hear, and by that time the period of repose will certainly have been exhausted, only to hear, you are in the wrong, you're before the wrong body. You should have gone to the Board of Adjustment, or you should have gone to the Planning Board. Then that jurisdictional hurdle becomes case dispositive.
That's the gotcha argument.
Yes, sir.
All right.
And so I can't imagine
there is
that
no court, there is no equitable principle like chancery where you can transfer if you're in the wrong appeal process.
I'm not aware of none.
And people don't commonly appeal to both.
Or no transfer statute.
They do not commonly appeal to both, and I am unaware of a transfer statute, but I can guarantee you, if I were representing an aggrieved party in the future, I would appeal to every appellate body that Newcastle County has. And it's not just the two that you heard about today.
All right, Mr. Manning, you've explained why the what process are we in test is not a good test.
Yes,
what
sir.
Is your contention as to what is the proper test?
Find the root of the – identify the decision that's being made. The decision here was clearly, does this wall have historic significance or not? That was made under Chapter 15. Chapter 15, we are told by Newcastle County, unequivocally, is part of the zoning code. I believe Newcastle County tells us that to avoid this very question. Any of us in this room could argue for some time that this decision, by its nature, and here's where we get into trouble when we presume to know that something is zoning by its nature or subdivision by its nature. The world is not that simple. Actually, I don't think it ever was, but it is certainly not that simple in Newcastle County now. That's what gets us into trouble. You can't tell, and yet you need to know with certainty where to go. And so you look at the decision that was made. Nobody argues here about what decision was made. The question was whether the wall had historic significance or not. People disagreed about that. Mr. Baker presumes to end that question with his letter in February of 2005. Is that a zoning decision or a subdivision decision? All I have to do is look to the UDC and I find out, because it comes out of Chapter 15. Yes,
so
it was made.
Everyone would, even in the old days, would recognize as a subdivision issue. If the council put that under the zoning code, that's going to go to the Board of Adjustment, no matter what. Is that your position?
Anytime county council tells me that a decision was either zoning or subdivision, that's correct. That's dispositive. And listen to what we heard today. We were told that building height and setbacks are, of course, subdivision decision matters. They involve dimensional. They involve the layout on the land. They've been included in zoning codes ever since the first zoning code in the state. That's a little bit of a hyperbole. I don't know that's true. But I can say that every traditional zoning code I've seen, both the one that preceded the UDC in Newcastle County and in every town and hamlet in this state, puts building height and setbacks in the zoning code. So I ask you, if this thing that sounds exceedingly subdivision-like, where does the appeal, if I haven't complied with the setback requirement and the planner tells me so and denies my plan, where do I go? The zoning code says it's a zoning matter. That's what I think should be determinative.
If I understand your argument, let's just take the setback and the height situation rather than this one. Your argument would be that the zoning code would set the ceiling, so to speak, on the height and the setback, and that someone could submit a plan for development that met the ceiling right on the button.
Okay.
And the planning review could conclude that, well, given the character of this neighborhood, meeting the ceiling within the zoning ordinance, though you've met it as a matter of law under the zoning code, still your plan doesn't fit the character of the neighborhood. Because of the circumstances, we're going to require that you be 1 foot less than the maximum height. That would be, I take it, a planning review decision that would go to the planning board, not a zoning decision, because they, in fact, had met the maximum zoning decision. So there's no dispute about that. It's not like they're asking to exceed the maximum height set in the zoning code by 1 foot. They're being told, because of the nature and character of the neighborhood and the other circumstances about the quality of the country and destruction and encroachment upon historical sites, whether or not uses, lots, drainage, and roads relate to the site and adjoining land, on all of that that's part of the subdivision process, that would go to the Planning Commission.
My response is going to be frustrating to Your Honor, because actually in that situation I would argue that standardless impositions have been applied to my client's plan, and that nobody, whether it's the Department of Planning or either board, can tell me that there's some notion that I have to have a height less than that which is set forth in the code. If you take the reverse example and assume that I've shown you a plan that is 1 foot over the height requirement.
But doesn't that happen to setbacks, particularly if they're adjacent to a farm where there's often a requirement that the buffer be
greater? If there's a variance proceeding, that's a horse of a different color.
No, I'm not talking about a variance proceeding. I'm talking about a subdivision plan in the traditional sense that's submitted and it goes to planning review. And while in that district for residential development, a setback as normal as 30 feet, but because there's a farm operation adjacent, without it being an agricultural lands issue, the 50-foot buffer is required before that subdivision plan will be approved.
No. No, unless there's a requirement that the buffer be 50, I'm entitled to have the buffer that's set forth in the code. And if some planner says you have to have 50 here, my question is why? What's the authority for that? And unless someone can show me the authority for that, I'm entitled to have my plan reviewed. In fact, we all know that subdivision plans are plans that are approved as of right. If you comply with the code, you are entitled to have your plan approved, even if it's a legislative body that is the approving authority. In that case, the legislative body is acting in a quasi-administrative capacity and must approve the plan if the plan complies with the code.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
In response to some of Mr. Manning's points, first, he mentioned this is a complex land use system, and I don't disagree with that. But, in fact, the way to simplify it is to appeal. In some instances, I personally have appealed to multiple boards because you can have the jurisdictional issue be fuzzy in certain situations. And what happens is, the department or the board itself will ultimately decide which one has jurisdiction. So I don't really think that there could be a gotcha, as Justice Jacobs mentioned, but there doesn't need to be. Second, the test is let the county decide, as I noted. The third point I had was Mr. Manning said the county council essentially can trump the General Assembly.
On promoting multiple appeals, you, in theory at least, could have one body saying it's not us, it's them, and the other body saying it's not us, it's them. I mean, how do you, isn't there an advantage to a bright line rule?
Well, I think the department is really the one that is there to police it. In my experience, I know this is not in the record, but in my experience, the department does police it and sends back appeal A and says, you're going to go forward with appeal B. I've never gotten to a board and
so
had to.
They're applying a bright line rule as they've seen it, whatever it may be.
They make that determination. Now, there may be an appeal that says that wasn't the right board to send me to. I've made that argument before as well, but that's an issue that ultimately will be decided if there is a court proceeding that challenges the decision.
You never had a standoff in which both administrative bodies claimed that they have jurisdiction, but not the other?
No, I've never gotten that far because the department stops it and tells you which one you can go to and which one is rejected. And probably has the authority to do that under their UDC interpretation of powers as a matter of law. County Council trumps the General Assembly and the Delaware Constitution, which is in effect what Mr. Manning was saying. The General Assembly and the Constitution have said what is zoning, and the code says, the Delaware Code says what is subdivision, and that's how you determine the division between the two, not in accordance with what county council says. They don't have the authority under the principles of delegation to exceed that power which is delegated to them under Title IX. The next point is, and I know the court would prefer a bright line test, the other suggestion obviously I need to make on behalf of my client is, or clients, is to narrowly decide this matter solely based on the facts. I think that makes it a lot simpler because at A-158 of the appendix, you have a copy of the plan that was in fact reviewed. You'll see in that situation there is no development proposed. And I differ a little bit with what Mr. Manning said earlier. This is a pure subdivision plan. In other words, all it is doing is taking acreage and splitting it up into separate lots of a particular size. It's not proposing buildings. There's no setback issue. There's no height issue. It is not a land development plan as the county calls it, when you are also proposing an office building of a certain footprint and a certain height and so forth. So I think this one is a lot easier to determine because there's really not a zoning issue other than potentially the lot sizes that are on that plan because there's no development proposed.
Well, he would argue, at least I thought he argued, that the determination of whether the wall was a historical structure or not was uniquely and unequivocally a zoning decision, whether that determination occurred during the subdivision planning process or not.
Well, I don't agree with that, obviously. I think because, number one, the determination is made ultimately by the department. It's not made under Article 15. You can look at Article 15 as much as you want. It doesn't say, in the end, the department has authority to do thus and such. That authority.
But that's where the criteria are.
There are criteria that are reviewed by the Historic Review Board, but ultimately the determination of the Land Use Department is under Articles 20 and 31 under much more general planning principles that, for example, from the UDC that the Chief Justice cited earlier.
Well, I have one question before you sit down. Am I correct that there had been no determination that this fence was an historical structure before the subdivision planning process took place?
That's correct. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Council. We'll take the case under advisement.